Last week we talked about a passion to pray, and today we're going to talk about a purpose to pray. Now, one of the things that we looked at last week from Matthew 9 was Jesus saying, pray to the Lord of the harvest for laborers, because the harvest fields are ripe and laborers are few. That's a purpose to pray. And we've seen purposes to pray throughout the course of this series. But I want to talk to us today about a very specific verse. And if you've got your Bibles, I'd encourage you to turn to it, even though it'll be on the big screen. I'd invite you to turn to Ephesians 3 and 20, because I'm going to refer to that verse not once or twice, but three different translations, so we can see what the Word is saying to us here in Ephesians chapter 3. And so, I am going to start with the King James Version, and Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's getting kind of towards the end of a paragraph. He's getting kind of towards a benediction, if you will. And here's what he says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, King James Version. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's the King James Version. He starts to lay out to us who is God and what he wants to do. Listen again to the King James Version. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's who Paul is talking about. That is a reason to pray, brothers and sisters. The New Living Translation says it this way, now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Do you begin to get the flavor that God wants to do more? I do. I get the idea, I get the flavor of this verse, that God wants to do more through His church. One more translation, NIV, New International Version. I love the word that is used in this version. Now unto Him who is able to do immeasurably more. How much is immeasurably? How? This is what God wants to do, brothers and sisters. Now unto him, the NIV says, now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine. Is that purpose? Is that not purpose enough to pray? God wants to do more. Sherry bought me a couple t-shirts at conference this past June from a little organization within our denomination. The one is a black t-shirt. Both of them, by the way, have that verse on the back in the NIV. The one says, now what? Pretty good conversation starter. I walk into a store, they say to me, now what? And so, but on the back, what this verse is referring to is, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we even think or imagine. That's now what? Now it's time for the church, Paul is saying, to recognize that God wants to do more than you're even thinking about. You ever thought about that? God wants to do more than you're already praying about, than you're already asking for, than you can even imagine. That's what the other one says, imagine. And on the back is that verse. Can you imagine for a moment the God of the universe that wants to do more than you've even thought about? Can you imagine that for a moment? Can you imagine what that more is? Immeasurably more than we can even think about or imagine. And so we start to see why we should fervently, passionately, persistently, urgently pray, if for no other reason than this reason right here, because God, in His goodness and His grace and His willingness and His mercy, wants to do more. And He wants to do it through the church. He wants to do it through His people. I think that's reason enough to pray. Followers of Jesus here today, I believe this verse challenges us, it certainly challenges me, and tells me and reminds me that we serve a God who wants to do more than you're even thinking about. Who wants to do more than you can even imagine. That's what it says. Let me give you a little story. And I know you know the story, and time is short today, so I'm going to have to paraphrase it. But it's in your Bibles in 1 Kings. It's a story about the king Solomon. And so I'm pretty sure you know some about this story anyway. It's the story where Solomon has just offered 1,000 burnt offerings. It's in 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning at 4 through 16. Solomon has just offered up 1,000 burnt offerings, and God comes to Solomon in verse 5 of 1 Kings 3. The Bible says, "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said to him, 'Ask what I will give you.'" I wonder how many times you've heard the Lord say that to you. Ask. You begin to see the immeasurably more, brothers and sisters. God comes to Solomon and says, "Tell me what you want." He's calling us to pray. He's beckoning us, come to the prayer altars. And he says to Solomon, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And the Bible says, and Solomon said in verse 6, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father." And he goes on a little while. And at 7, "Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant," he's talking about himself, Solomon, "your servant king instead of my father David. But I'm just a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted." And he gets to the request in verse 9. "Therefore, Solomon says to God, 'Give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours?'" God said to Solomon, "Tell me what you want." And Solomon says, "God, I'm a pretty young guy. I'm pretty new at this king thing. And your people, there's quite a few of them. Give me wisdom to discern right from wrong, good from evil, with this your people." And the Bible says the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have you asked for riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for your understanding to discern justice." Look at what he says in verse 12. God says this in answering prayer, "Behold, I have done according to your words." God said, "Your prayer is answered. Your request is granted." Just like that. And it doesn't end there. "Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you." And verse 13, now we get to the immeasurably more part. "And God said to Solomon, 'I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days.'" And further, he says in 14, "So if you walk in my ways, Solomon, to keep my statutes and keep my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." You see what God wants to do for us, brothers and sisters? He wants to do immeasurably more than we even imagine. Solomon asked humbly, "Give me wisdom, O God, so I can understand these people of yours." And God said, "Not only will I do that, I'm going to give you riches, I'm going to give you prestige, I'm going to give you honor, and if you walk with me, Solomon, I'm going to give you a long life, immeasurably more than he asked for or imagined." And that's what God wants to do for the church today, friends, I believe. I believe He wants to do more. But I believe He wants His people to pray. I believe He wants us to be earnest in prayer. God, we said this last week, does God answer prayer? Of course He answers prayer. We sometimes don't like the answer, but He answers prayer. But God is challenging us as He did Solomon that day, and Paul said it in Ephesians 3:20. We are praying to the God of the universe who wants to do more than you can even think about. He wants to answer prayers of yours. He wants to answer prayers of the church. He wants to do immeasurably more than we can even ask. Now, when we study the New Testament, let me just add, we must ask in faith. Jesus said it. James said it. We must ask in faith. In other words, we believe it's going to happen because we're asking in faith. We must walk in His ways. God has just told Solomon that here in verse 14. We must be humble. God told Solomon that in 2 Chronicles 7:14 when He said, if My people who are called by My name will humble themselves. So there's some things to consider. There's some things to consider here in our prayer lives. Am I asking in faith? Am I walking before God? Am I humbling myself as Solomon did? And then there's one last thing, friends, that we need to address. I've mentioned this over the course of this series. We must address sin. You say, Jim, what are you talking about? I could tell you a lot of stories, but time is running out. But all through the Bible, sin hindered God's people from having their prayers answered. Sin was a roadblock. I could tell you the story about Joshua at Jericho. You know the story. And the walls came tumbling down. And they conquered the city. And they went on to the next city, a little tiny city. And they were soundly defeated. Why? Long story short, Jesus said, God said this, because there is sin in the camp, Joshua. And He said this very clearly. God was not going to go along with another victory until sin had been dealt with. Sin puts up a roadblock in our prayer life. I've listed a whole bunch of scriptures there. You can look at them. I'll refer to a couple. Psalm 66:18. David wrote, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened to me. David knew he had to get right with God first if his prayer life was going to have any benefits. Sin, friends, will inhibit our prayer life. We must deal with that roadblock of sin, whatever it is. Culture, I've told you this over the last course of time. Culture will form us in the way of the world if we let it. Sin will just happen in our lives if we let it. And if there is sin blocking the way, our prayer lives are going to be inhibited. You can pick any list in the New Testament or the Old that you want. Whether it's sexual immorality or drunkenness or greed or anger or lust or selfish ambitions or lying or any one of these things are a hindrance to our walk with Jesus and to our prayer life. Sin gets in the way. That's all there is to it. Deuteronomy 1:44-46 says this, but the Amorites who lived there came out against you like a swarm of bees. They chased you and battered you all the way from Seir to Hormah. Then you returned and you wept before the Lord, but He refused to listen. Why did God refuse to listen? Because of their disobedience to His word. 1 Samuel 8:18. This is when the children of Israel asked for a king. God came back and He said, and you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Why? Because they had rejected God as king and set up their own earthly king. Isaiah 1:15. When you spread your hand out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, God said, I will not hear you. Why? Because your hands are full of blood. And all through the Bible, friends, we see sin must be dealt with. If our prayer life is going to be vibrant and our prayers are going to be answered, we've got to remove the blockages called sin. Now let me close on a positive note. I want to go back to Ephesians 3:20 and remind us that when we put our faith in the living God, when we trust in Jesus Christ, this is available to us. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to His power that is at work within us. God wants to hear from us, friends. He wants to hear from the church corporately. He wants to hear from the next church corporately. He wants to hear from believers corporately. He wants to hear from you as individuals. He wants to hear from you as families. He wants to hear from us as a church. God wants to answer prayers. He wants to do immeasurably more than we've even thought about. But we've got to get serious. We've got to get right with Him. We've got to surrender to Him. We've got to be persistent in our prayers. Answer may not come in a season even. We've got to be persistent. We've got to be urgent. We've got to be passionate. There is a reason to pray. And so I want to just close with this. God wants to save. He wants to encourage. He wants to help. He wants to pick you up. He wants to give direction. He wants to, in the 21st century vernacular, blow your mind in answering prayers. Immeasurably more than we've even thought about, we've even asked for. I believe He wants to do it, friends. I believe His church has got to pray. I believe people have got, we've got to get as serious about prayer as we get about watching the Olympics. We've got to get as serious about prayer as we get about, well, you pick it, whoever you like. I was going to say Vikings, but nobody watches them anymore. We've got to get serious in our prayer life. If God is going to show up in ways that will blow your mind, the church has got to get serious in our prayer life.